Well, it's hard to believe that we're already into the third week of Advent. It means we're halfway through our sermon series called Roots. And last week we learned that Jesus comes from a people. Now, his family line was one that certainly had its share of issues, but a family line that also shows us that our God is a God of redemption. And that means the story of Advent is the story of ultimate redemption. This week, our focus is on the hometown of Bethlehem. Now, as you guys know, I love local history, especially when you find obscure little pieces of history in a town or find out what their claim to fame is. And oftentimes, when you're driving into the town, you'll find signs like the one in Athens County, Ohio, announcing that they are the home of the 2019 Heisman winner, Joe Burrow. Or the sign going into New Richmond, Ohio, announcing that it is the birthplace of Ulysses S. Grant. And of course, around here, we have lots of signs that show local claims to fame, from the Whitewater Canal to the tomb of William Henry Harrison, and heck, even the village itself is named after John Cleve Sims. Bethlehem, despite its small size, actually had a little bit of history prior to Jesus. Last week, we told the story of Jacob, who was renamed Israel. And following that event, it says this big event happened in Bethlehem from Genesis 35. It says they moved on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't despair, for you have another son." And skipping to verse 19, it says, "So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath," that is Bethlehem. "Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb." So the final resting place of Israel, or Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, is located in Bethlehem. The Israelites, after the Exodus, move back into the Promised Land, and the book of Ruth records a love story. And where else did it occur but in Bethlehem? Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and verses 4a. "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem." The whole book of Ruth is about love and redemption. And after a very unique courtship, some might say salacious, Ruth and Boaz get married. And their grandson, the future king of Israel, is born where else but in Bethlehem. 1 Samuel 17, it says, "Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem and Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old." And we know it was David who comes to defeat Goliath and ultimately succeeds Paul, becoming the second, but yet the greatest king of Israel. And then in the time of the prophets, it was foretold that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And that's how the wise men knew to come from this passage in Micah 5 that you heard earlier. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you, though are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And just like it was prophesied, the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And all because of the census that was recorded in Luke chapter 2. We heard earlier that Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And we all know the story from there. Joseph and Mary arrive in the crowded town and find themselves in the manger where Jesus, the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Messiah, the Emmanuel, is born. The fact that Jesus is born in Bethlehem gives a higher level of interest when we find out that the Hebrew translation for Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bethlehem may have gotten the name house of bread because it was located in a region where a lot of grain is grown. Remember the story of Ruth. Ruth meets Boaz when she's out gleaning in the fields gathering the grain. In the Gospel of John, we see a connection with Jesus and bread. In John 6, we get the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 by multiplying the bread. And after this event of feeding people bread, Jesus makes this declaration. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of whom who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." And verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So I find it interesting that Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. Do you think that was coincidental? Not with God. But the most important thing we need to know is that we cannot have eternal life without the bread of life. And the bread of life is the Word of God. We recall when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, it says the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And who is the Word? We read this before in John 1 a couple weeks ago. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." The word here translated for the word is logos. We're not using the word as in a series of letters that make up the words for language. Logos comes from the same root that we get logic from. The word logos represents the truth that comes from God. It comes with a promise, as in, "I give you my word." Right? When you say that, "I give you my word," you're not giving somebody a series of letters to make up a word. When you give them your word, you're giving them something. And when God gave us the word, it also means that God gave us the absolute truth of God. The truth that is the meaning of life kind of truth. And in Jesus Christ, God has given us the absolute truth. God has given us his infallible word. God has given us the bread of life. And as Jesus said in the scriptures, without the bread of life, we do not have eternal life. I know sometimes we use the phrase, "You must accept Jesus as your Savior." But the problem with that statement is, "You must accept." What does it mean to accept? Well, I accept a lot of things like facts. I accept that the moon orbits the earth. I accept that the Bengals are better than the Browns. Amen. Elliot's back here shaking his head somewhere. And Carla, she's a Browns fan. I think there are people who accept the fact that Jesus was born, but they accept as a fact, they accept it as a fact the same way that we know Abraham Lincoln was born. You can accept, yeah, okay, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but I can accept that Abraham Lincoln was born right down the road in Kentucky, right? I accept that your children were born, But I didn't really accept them, did I? You see, when they handed my newborn sons into my arms, I accepted them, right? That's different, isn't it? I accepted them. I accepted them at a different level. I didn't just accept them factually. I accepted them as something special. I accepted them with love. And while it is important to see Bethlehem as a real place of real events, it is important to accept the fact that Bethlehem is an actual place and a real baby named Jesus was born there. For us to really accept Jesus, we must accept him as the bread of life. We must accept that Jesus is the provider of life, the provider of eternal life. We can't just accept it as a fact. We have to embrace it. We have to consume it. The bread of life needs to be something that is inside of us. Some of you might remember that old hymn, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Do you remember that? "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart." And the chorus goes on to say, "Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart." The whole purpose of Advent is for us to prepare ourselves to receive the Christ child into our hearts, to receive the sustaining bread of life. And you need to ask yourself, as we're going through these series, we don't want it to be a myth. We don't want it to be a children's story. We don't want it to be something that we pretend is magical and doesn't exist. We want it to be real. We want it to be authentic. We want it to be about real people and real places. But the real thing, have you allowed Jesus to come into your heart? Have you accepted him? Have you made Jesus your life-sustaining bread? Do you have full assurance in your eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, the bread, the Word of God? We're going to stand here in a second and sing our closing song. And it's a very familiar one, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." But as we sing about Bethlehem, I want you to think about the words of salvation, especially in verse 3. It says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. See, Christ came into this world, but more importantly, he came to enter our world. He came to enter our lives. He came to enter into our hearts so that we might believe in him. We might see the real truth of God revealed. We might see the real redemptive love of a God that loves us so much, that wants to rescue us from our own sin, to rescue us from our own depravity, and give us the promise of an eternal life with him. This is the God that we sing of. This is the Christ child that was born in Bethlehem. Stand now and let us sing together. Hymn number 230, "A Little Town of Bethlehem." We'll do all four verses.
Bye.
That little Christ child came for you. And the season of Advent can be the season that he is reborn in your heart. Because make no mistake, the scriptures clearly say, if you do not partake of his bread, there is no eternal life. We can't know Jesus just here. We can't just know Jesus from the wonderful fables and tales and all the cute little movies they've made about it. We need to know Jesus here. We need to accept Christ into our hearts. The song says, let him be born again in us. And may we see the redemptive glory in Jesus Christ. May we see that love of God, that he would send his only Son into this world so that we may have eternal life. May the truth, the Word of God, dwell in your hearts richly. May it work to rid you of your sin, to transform you into the likeness and to the love of Jesus Christ. Let us leave here as God's redeemed children with the full assurance and knowledge that those who believe and partake in the bread of life will have eternal life. Leave here now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.